bring your greetings this evening in Jesus' name. It's certainly good to be in the house of the Lord and to be around those that love Him, those that want to serve Him. This is rather kind of a short preparation. Brother Schrock asked me just a few moments ago if I would be glad to share something. Well, I think we should be ready at any time, should we not? I remember some time ago that a man asked me if I had this particular book in my collection of books. And I said, well, what's the name of the book? He said, well, I'm not exactly like I'm going to say it here, but it was How to Impress People with Words. Large words. He said, if you use these words, you'll be effective. Well, I never bought the book. I feel that we need to be rooted in the Word of God. This Bible has all we need. Well, praise the Lord this evening. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. I want to notice a few things this evening about, in our society, I believe there's an epidemic of ignoring God. Down through history, down through time, we have read about people and casualties of those that ignored God. In the book of Genesis, we find that the first few chapters here, we'll get here over a second, the second chapter of Genesis, we find the two people that seem to start this avalanche of what we know today, and it's an ongoing situation of ignoring the Word of God. Around us are many churches. They're called the mega churches that seem to be in the growing leaps and bounds, where it's one of the churches is called the Saddleback Church, where thousands of people are gathering. They've enlarged their acceptance to all sorts of things. In fact, in one of the periodicals or one of the books I'm reading presently, it talks about that we need to remove those pillars in the church. The pillars he was referring to are the old-time people that are adhering to the doctrinal principles of God's Word. They're in the way, enlarging it, and they're putting on big orchestras and lots of rock music's integrated into their services. In fact, they recommend that you don't need to bring your Bible. They'll have some sort of an overhead projector and you sing these song courses over and over again. Some of the songs are out of the rock people's rock music, and they brought that into the church. It's called this. Oh yes, they're packing the church out. 30,000 in California, it's one up in Colorado. But you don't need the Bible. Well, I'm glad to report to you, we need the Word of God. We need Scripture. We need to be looking at what happened in the past. Here in the book of Genesis, in the second chapter, we read that how God put man in the garden. Verse 15 of the second chapter, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them into Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle. And it goes on down. Then we notice that in the 21st verse, or the end of the 20th verse, God found a helpmeet for Adam. Thank God we do have the sisters in the church, and we're glad for godly mothers. There's certainly, as you probably, it was across the pulpits today across the land, it's Mother's Day. Mother's Day should be every day. Godly mothers are a shortage. Preaching in a prison down in Alabama some time ago, in that large institution, many of the prisoners I talked to, in the cells from cell to cell, I found that many of them could not relate with mother's prayers have followed me. I wonder how many here this evening, we won't take a poll. If we would ask the question, did you have a godly mother? Were you taught the Word of God? I think the high percentage here would be that we do have that in our circles. Yes, God created the woman for the man. Verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. But back up in the 15th verse, and we notice then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat thereof, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, we notice that here we have some directions. We see some things that are just shaping up in the do's and the don'ts. The do's and the don'ts. Ignoring the teaching, ignoring what God had commanded them. Some time ago in Southern California, I read where a man, two men in a car, came up to a railroad crossing. The bars were down, the lights were flashing, the train was blowing the horn. Anybody seemingly in their right mind would have never attempted to go through, but these two men decided that they could make it. Well, the story is that I saw that they had died. They drove in front of a train. They ignored the warnings. We're living in a society where people are ignoring the things of God. Enlarging acceptance of the things of this world. Here on down, then we saw in the 24th verse, therefore shall man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Verse 1 of the 3rd chapter, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and to the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Well, we see here how that this all transpired, and we see that they ignored God. There they were. They were hiding in the garden after that beautiful relationship. There was something happened. the presence of God, that beautiful time of fellowship and communion was broken. Isn't that the way it is today when we sin and when we ignore God? There's a consequence. Here, not so far from your community, here is Mount Hood, is it not? Mount Hood's not all that far from here. I think there's some from this church that climbed that. Is anybody here tonight that climbed that Mount Hood? Maybe not. But there's some time ago there was some young men from this community and some other churches in this area that climbed Mount Hood. Now that's certainly not a very easy thing to do. It's very dangerous, and there's much type of gear and things that you need. People to climb those mountains I've talked to many people that have climbed Mount Everest. And there's lots of things that you need to have to make that voyage, to make it up the mountain and to survive. It's called survival gear. Three men just not so long ago, I think it's maybe over a year, maybe going on 2 years now, they decided they were going to climb Mount Hood. Now these three men were skilled. They knew the hazardous life, things that could happen on the mountain. At times, the storm can come, blow in, and winds can reach 110 miles an hour. Temperature can drop way below zero. Zero visibility in that inclement weather on the mountain. One of the climbers of climbing in that particular day was a man that had scaled Mount Everest. 29,249 feet tall. He had climbed the mountain. He was skilled. He knew the do's and the don'ts of climbing the mountains. But in that particular climb, they decided to take a shortcut. There's a road that you could go up Mount Hood. They tell me that it's almost most all climbers go because it's a chartered route. Other climbers have made it to safety. Others have went up and down and seemingly no problems. But they decided on this trip to do it their way. They're going to climb this mountain. They're not worried about the hazards. They don't need to really worry about that. In fact, they did not take enough survival gear. So they embarked on that trip, those three men. The man that had climbed Mount Everest and other mountains across the world. Mount Hood's what, 12,000 some feet high? Is that what it is? Somewhere in that category.
11,000.
Pardon?
11,000.
11,000. I think I added a few feet. Anyway, whatever. I'm not exactly the exact. I've read that. I don't have them statistics with me. But these three men decided to go, but they're going to go a different route. They don't need all that survival gear, so they didn't take it. They went up another way, and as they climbed up there, several thousands and thousands of feet up the mountain, maybe 6,000 feet up. But you know, all of a sudden, a storm out of nowhere, 110 mile an hour winds, zero visibility, the temperature dropped to plummeting to a low 20 below zero or something. The man on his cell phone that had climbed Mount Everest, a very experienced traveler, he called his wife in the valley and he said, you know, he was delirious. Delirium had set in from the cold weather that overpowered his body. They did not have tents. They didn't have the things that they needed for survival. I tell you, friend, this is the survival manual, how to get to the glory world. There's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. These three men went up the mountain. The man who had the most experience, he didn't think he needed all that stuff. They're going to take a shortcut. You don't need, we are living in times, in comparable times, when our biblical principles are being discarded as unnecessary baggage. The prayer veil has been downsized. Some have discarded as not necessary. Instrumental music has reeked into the church. Divorce and remarriage is accepted in many circles. Yes. Ignoring God's way. The other two men, as the weather hit on that mountain, they decided to try to build a snow cave for the man that had experience. He was hardly able to talk. They made a snow cave with a little bit of equipment they did have. The other two men headed off, trying to find their way. Had they stayed on the charted route, I wouldn't be surprised they'd be here today. They went the wrong way. They fell off of the mountain. Thousands of feet this evening here, they're encased in the mountain on Mount Hood somewhere. Because they chose to go without, ignoring common sense. Mount Everest is scattered with hundreds of bodies. Because you travel on Mount Everest, I just read an article on it the other day. As you travel that trek up Mount Everest, there are many places you can see over the edge, hundreds of feet down, thousands of feet possibly, there's bodies entombed in the ice. It's a hazardous route. Something more worse and more serious is our discarding biblical principles, discarding the Word of God, ignoring God's Word. Adam and Eve ignored God's Word. They ignored God's directions. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a catalog of biblical characters, of people from the past. The Old and New Testament, we have accounts of people who ignored God. We have a beautiful accounts of those that looked at what lay before them. Classic example is Jonah. Classic example is Noah, rather. Noah saw the things that were around him. In fact, the Bible talks about as was in the days of Noah. So shall it be. The Bible talks about Lot. Lot's wife. Turn with me in your Bibles to the sixth chapter of Genesis here. In the sixth chapter of Genesis, we find in the fifth verse, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." He saw what man was doing. They were ignoring his principles. Their lifestyle was corrupt, evil. Their very thoughts and imaginations were continually evil. Today, our society is plugged into television, the DVDs, and the videos, and godless music. Thoughts and imaginations and all kinds of material literature that wouldn't be proper to talk about across the pulpit. Yes, Noah. God saw. Do you think this evening that God doesn't see the wickedness that's around America? Yes, it's around us. It's all around us, but thank God there are those who are living godly lives. We notice in the 9th verse, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Our world is filled with violence, isn't it? All around us is violence. Everywhere, seemingly horrible, heinous crime. I believe God's impending judgment is on the horizon. God's looking for men tonight that will stand solid, stand firm. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? I knelt with a prisoner in Alabama some time ago, and there as I prayed with him and talked to him, he told me. He said, "Oh, if I just were to listen." I was sitting in the prisons, in the pews, in the chapel, and the man beside me could sing he knew all the songs. He hit all the notes and everything. I wonder what he did. When the invitation was given, he responded to the love call of God.
And there he knelt and was praying. And I talked to him later. I said, as we were sharing and praying, he came every night at that prison revival. And he told me, he says, you know, I knew the way. But he said, I went my own way. We won't go into the details of what happened in his life, but he's in prison for life. But there he knelt and asked Christ to forgive him for what he had done and the things that he committed in his life. As far as I know, today he has victory. But sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more. The cost. Have you counted the cost? Songwriter writes, if your soul should be lost. Well, we notice in here we find Noah, if I can get it right. He looked around. He saw what was ground. It was corrupt. He made a choice. The Bible says, choose ye this day whom ye would serve. Another example we find over the 18th chapter is Lot. Lot had been around his uncle Abraham for all those years, had learned a lot of things. But somehow Lot, when he had the opportunity to move ahead and get away from his uncle's, the nephew, his uncle Abraham, he moved towards Sodom. He could make it big down there. That's where you could make a lot of money. Somehow his relationship to war seemed to cool. Even though the Bible talks about righteous Lot, and he was vexed with the filthy conversation of those around him. And Peter talks about that. In fact, Jesus referred to Lot's wife, did he not? Some man told me on an airplane some time ago, he said, you know, I'm a Christian. I said, oh? So we talked. I was sitting there studying for a sermon message, and he said, I'm a Christian. I said, okay. But he said, I don't really believe the whole Bible. What do you think of that, Richard? I said, you don't believe the whole Bible? He says, no. I said, well, what part don't you believe it? I said, well, I believe it from Genesis to Revelation. Can you say amen? I say amen. I believe the Bible. Well, he said that story about Jonah. We talked about that. We talked about in Genesis. I said, what do you think of Jesus? Well, he said, I believe what Jesus said. He said, well, we need to look in Luke 17. You look at some time where Jesus reflects on Lot's wife. Very short statement there. It says, what does it say? Remember what? Remember Lot's wife. I showed him in the Bible. I said, here it is. He said, I never saw that before. He said, I've been telling my son that those big stories in the Bible about Jonah and the big whale, and he said, I told him that. That's just a story. He said, I'm going to have to tell my son that you better start believing the Bible. Do you believe the Bible? We're in a society that's using every type of philosophy and all kinds of this and that, undermining the Word of God. God's Word is true. He is the changeless Christ for a changing society. Yes, all around us. All around us, the Bible is full of accounts where people that ignored God. Here we see that Lot seemingly all around him, that thing was going down the drain, and finally he becomes evangelistic and he tries to salvage his family at a late minute there. But then he lingered around, and his wife was told not to look back. But she just wanted to get one more look. I don't know what we could speculate as to what she was looking back for, but she looked back, and the Bible tells us in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became, what did she become? A pillar of salt. Ignoring God. We have an account over in, we want to notice another one here in Mark, the 10th chapter. In Mark, the 10th chapter, we have an account of a man that ignored God. He ignored God. He He'd ignored God's principles. The rich young ruler came to Jesus there in Mark the 10th chapter. Mark 10. Let's take a quick look at that. In Mark the 10th chapter, the 17th verse. And when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things I observed from my youth." And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, said unto him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross and follow me." And the Bible says in verse 22, "And he was sad at that saying, and away grieved, for he had great possession." He wasn't willing to give all. The Bible says, "One thing thou lackest." I remember a man that I knew some years ago. In that particular church, the CB radio was not permitted. There's a lot of junk on it. I don't have a CB radio. I never did. But anyway, that particular congregation had rules that you weren't to have one. He was going to have a CB radio. It didn't matter what. Some of the ministers had taken got one in the bishops, and they went out and set it around. I don't know what all they monitored, but it was against the rules. That was the only thing that he was going to have, that particular item. It didn't matter what. And that's the route he took. He was finally excommunicated, left that church, and he went on out from this church to that church. And today, all of his family, his son is divorced and remarried. All of his daughters, their marriages fell apart, and they're all divorced and remarried. And he's in some, I'm not what kind of church it is. But there was one thing. He was not going to, it didn't matter what. He'd ignored the sound advice from the church. A girl called my wife and I several years ago, and she told me, she said, "You know, Brother Paul," she said, "we have listened to your tapes, we've listened to your messages." She said, "You know, I've met this young man." Okay. She says, "I want to marry him." An older single girl. And I remember, as my wife and I chatted with her on the phone, she said, "There's only one thing about him that I have a problem with." She said, "He's been married before." And I said, I had known something about the case. And I said, "Oh, yes, I do know him." I knew the name. And I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "It seems to me when he dated that girl from that she was married before and had a child from another any of our plain people. Anyway, he went that route and he talked to the ministry, talked to the church, and they told him, no, we cannot. We don't believe in that marrying divorced people. It's a wrong. It's against the Bible." She said, "You know, I wanted your opinion." I said, "Well, it's based on the Word of God. I don't endorse it." I said, "The Bible says we have to give an account. We as ministers have to give an account, and I've known you since you were just a young little girl." She said, "Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to marry him no matter what. Because I talked to somebody that's smarter than you." Well, I would say that would be hard to find. I said, "You know what? You're going against the Bible. And let me ask you one more question. Are you willing to go to hell for this man? If it means that." She says, "I'll have a good time." I said, "Yeah. You might call it a good time." I said, "You know, Moses, when he faced that down in Egypt, he could have had the pleasures of Egypt for a season, but what did he do? He chose to do the things that were right and to identify with the people of God." Well, she went ahead and married him.
Today she's with that man. I ran into her in a revival meeting several years ago in another state, and she told me at the back of the church that I'm happily married. I said, well, I haven't changed my views. I still stand with the Word of God. You see. Well, Revelation 3 says, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. So this evening, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. Are we strengthening the things? Are we part of the process this evening in strengthening the things that remain? God's looking for men and women to strengthen and to hold the line on the biblical principles of God's Word. God is unchanging. His person is unchanging. His unchanging purpose. His unchanging Word. His unchanging work. His unchanging work. He says in Hebrews, He's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. He doesn't change. God's principles do not change. God's existence doesn't change. God's character does not change. God's ways do not change. God's truth does not change. God's purposes don't change. God is unchanging. Yes, His unchanging Word, His unchanging work, and His unchanging love. Are you ignoring God? Are you like the men that climbed the mountain, they tried to do it their own way? Let's do it God's way. That's what we want. Before we pray, we're going to sing a verse of song. Just as I am without one plea, I think of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, one revival he was holding in Chicago. He didn't give an invitation that night. He decided to come back tomorrow night. Do you know what happened? Does anybody know? John, do you know what happened? The Great Chicago Fire. Yes. Many souls died and went into eternity. He said after that, he decided to make it a part of his ministry to invite people to make a decision for Christ. Or sometimes there's things in our life that we need to ask the Lord to forgive us where we fail. We could sing a verse of that song. Our Father, this evening, search our hearts. As we come to the close of this service, bless this congregation here. Should there be a person here that has a need in her life before we pray? Could we sing a verse of that song, Just As I Am? Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Every eye closed and every head bowed, would there be someone this evening? You've heard the message of the hour. Maybe you have ignored God in some area in your life. You'd want to slip your hand up for a closing prayer and say, yes, Brother Paul, remember me in that prayer. Yes, God sees our others this evening here. He has spoken to your heart. God bless you. Let us pray. Our Father, this evening we thank you for your love. Thank you for the blood of Christ. Thank you for the Word. Thank you, Lord, for these examples in your Word of those that followed you, those that did not ignore you like Noah of old. Jonah of old, who ignored you in the first time, But then he repented, became a fugitive running from you. And after he repented in the belly of the whale, you recommissioned him and put him out there into active duty for you. Lord, touch our hearts. Give us power. Thank you that you are the changeless Christ for a changing world around us. Bless this congregation and the ministering brother here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.